Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Utah State head coach Ben Jacobson as part of our new coaches series. And Ben, welcome. How unique is it to be introduced as the head coach of Utah State and not the head coach of Northern Iowa?
Yeah, it's different. I've had plenty of people, friends and others, John, that have said the voicemail when it hits sounds different when it says Utah State, not Northern Iowa. And so that's come up quite a bit. But after 25 years, right, that's going to be part of it.
Ben, were you looking for a change?
You know, the timing was right, right? More so than looking for a change. We've talked over the years down Northern Iowa was a terrific place, and it was a wonderful spot for us from a professional standpoint and for our family. But the timing was as good as it could have been. And I feel really, really fortunate that it turned out that way with our boys being older now. Hunter is 22 and Tanner's 20. And so personally, it was great for my wife and I. And then the opportunity to do this at Utah State, there's some similarities, certainly with Northern Iowa and Utah State, and a lot of those things being a very good fit. We've got some things here. We've got some resources and some things here at Utah State that are terrific. Okay? It's been a great 5 or 6 weeks, and this is quite a spot, John, as you know, right? And people that anybody that knows anything about college basketball knows that this is quite a spot.
Prior to taking the Utah State job, what was the closest you came to leaving Northern Iowa?
You're going to take me back a ways, John. There was I don't remember which year it was. It was after the Sweet 16 in 2010. Went down the road quite a ways with Texas A&M.
Oh, wow.
And that was I don't remember if it was 2011 or 2012. I don't remember which year it was, but it was a long time ago. And that was as close as it got.
Ben, how much did the Northern Iowa job change after both Creighton and Wichita State left the Valley?
That certainly made it different. There were, those are the games that not only as a competitor, from a coaching standpoint and a playing standpoint, but our fans. I mean, that was right when Creighton came in the building, when Wichita State came in the building. And it was also around that time that the series with Iowa and Iowa State, that was a home and home for a number of years when we first got there. When I got there with Greg McDermott, that was in place and it stayed that way. And then it shifted to a neutral site where Northern Iowa, Drake, Iowa State went down to Des Moines and we played a classic down there. And so that change happened as well. So, the league certainly changed, and Loyola came in and Porter did a great job there, and that covered some of it. And then more recently Belmont and Murray State joined the league, so there's been some good things that have happened, but not the same league without Creighton and Wichita.
No, and you mentioned you went to the Sweet 16 once at Northern Iowa. Another time, you beat Texas in the NCAA tournament. But the game has changed so much in the last 5 years. How much, when you played St. John's this past March in the NCAA tournament, did you feel the gap between the mid-major level and the true power conference level?
We felt it for 2.5 minutes to start the game for sure. We put ourselves in a tough spot. If we could do it over, which we all know we can't, and get off to a different start, the team we had in Northern Iowa was a good team.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a great that final score, John, I don't think is a great barometer of where it's at. Now it's different because everybody's older. Mm-hmm. You go back far enough, which we're able to do. Our teams. Were older teams, and you would run into, take the Kansas team we played to get to the Sweet 16 again, a long time ago, but that's kind of, I think, what you're talking about. Okay, where's that big difference? Well, Kansas had some young guys, the Morris twins were young. I'm forgetting the wing, that started for him, that
Davie Henry,
he was a freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, right. You've got young guy. That's the number one overall seed, but there's freshmen playing. There's younger guys playing where, go to St. John's, right? There weren't any freshmen, playing for St. John's. And that's, as we know, right, over, the last, since the NIL and the transfer portal came in, that's a big change for the majority of those teams. They can be old every single year, and that's a big difference. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't be old as well. You know, we were old in Northern Iowa. We're going to be relatively older at Utah State this year. So, we can do it as well. Not quite to the same level that those programs can, but we can be old.
You're a head coach 20 years. You learn a lot of lessons. But for Ben Jacobson, what was it like saying goodbye to Northern Iowa? Because up until that point, that was something you had not yet experienced as a head coach in coaching.
It was, I'll tell you what was interesting was that it didn't feel as strange as I thought it would. And I think it's because of the relationships that I had with people in the athletic department on campus, and then the friendships we had in the community. But the most important relationships now with the players we had, and I've got them. I talked with some of the guys over the last two or three years. Some birthdays popped up from some of the old timers who you may remember. But so the last 2 years though was a great 2 year run for us. Titan Anderson was our best player 2 years ago. Trey Campbell this past year. But that group stayed together. You know, after the NIT 2 years ago, and then this year getting to the NCAA tournament. So the relationships that we had with the players as a coaching staff, and that I had with the guys. It almost made it easy. We had some terrific conversations, even the morning that they heard. And then I talked to them about taking a new job. You know, we're in the team room and talking about all of it and why and what it means and what's everybody going to do. And they were great, you know, real conversations and great conversations. So in a strange way, not nearly as different as I thought it was going to be. Okay? But again, I think just because the relationships that I had with our players there.
And you're going to a place at Utah State that has done nothing but prosper. Craig Smith did a great job at Utah State. Ryan Odom did a great job at Utah State. Danny Sprinkle won a game in the NCAA tournament, as did Jared Calhoun. In studying the Utah State program, why do you think so many coaches there have been so successful?
Well, the guys you just listed off are guys that have had a lot of success, you know, prior to getting here and since being here. So you're talking about a terrific group of coaches. But there, you're also, and I've said this to a lot of the young people we're recruiting and their families. This place has got a crazy energy about it.
Yeah,
Donna, I haven't been, in the spectrum as our head coach yet, and I continue to hear about that from our players and from people in the community and people that have been around here a long time. That in addition to coaches that have coached against Utah State, we did it once when we were at Northern Iowa, but coaches that have come here multiple times, they all say the same thing. This place is different. You know, this home court is one of the top 10 home court environments and atmospheres in the entire country. And, you know, our student section is one of the top, one of the top five or top 10 in the entire country. So there's just some things that are in place here. That being a very important one. And then you've got, you've got a great recruiting base, the state of Utah. And our best player from this past year, Mason Falslev, is a tremendous player, and getting to know him over the last 5 or 6 weeks, he's a great player, but I tell you what, man, he is an unbelievable young guy. So, I think that the recruiting base here, matters. But what you're recruiting to, like I talked about with the spectrum and that environment and the support and the resources that we have here. So it is a great place. But again, those coaches that you just ran through, those are some good coaches as well. That's a really good combination.
And they set a really, really high bar, obviously, for anybody who follows them. And that's you now. Ben, what are the initial impressions of the roster that you've put together?
Yeah, I like that we were able to get off to a good start with Mason, who I mentioned. Carson Templin was the sixth man of the year last year in the Mountain West. Mason was the player of the year in the Mountain West. And so to have that start, John, in today's, today's landscape was a great place to start. And then Braden Bowe and Kingston Tosi both redshirted last year. So we've got four players that were a part of what happened this past year. And then Will Hornseth from Northern Iowa jumped in pretty quickly. So all of a sudden we've got five players to get started. So now you've got a very good foundation. You got a couple of high-end guys, a couple of young guys. So when you go into the transfer portal, and we went into the portal for a handful of guys. We also We're able to get a couple of the junior college guys out here in Utah, a couple of high school players. But when you go to do that and you've already got the four players that were here last year and Will Hornseth, you know, you've got a lot to talk about. Not only do you have a foundation to get started for your team, but when you're talking with players that you want to join you, you can say, hey, you got an opportunity to come play with, you know, Mason, come play with Carson, guys that have been through this, a couple of other guys in Kingston and Braden that were here. Will Hornseth is a guy that I've known for a long time and coached for a couple of years. So that was a great start for us, you know, and we filled in pretty good. We're getting close to the end of that roster build.
How did you retain Mason Falslev in this climate?
Yeah, that's the first thing we did. You know, I talked about it in my press conference, that, you know, just wanting to get my suit and tie off and get to the part that I'm really here for. And that's to talk to Mason and Carson. And there were five seniors on last year's team. And so obviously those guys out of eligibility, but there were 10 players that were either here in town or we worked to get in touch with on the phone. And so in talking with all 10 of those players, but sitting down with Mason and just getting it out on the, you know, everything out on the table, John, really with wanting to know how how I can help and what are the things that I can do as our new head coach to help him get to the point where he feels great about coming. This is a place that, you know, he grew up, you know, I think it's 8, 9, 10 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. And so this place is home for him. And he wanted to be able to stay here. And I just asked him how I could help with that part of it. And we talked a number of days in a row great conversations. And this is, you know, fortunately for me as a new head coach and our staff and for Utah State, our basketball program and the community, again, that Mason grew up in, you know, this is home for him. So we're all fortunate that he made the decision to come back. As I said, he's really good. And that's what people see, right? They see that with student athletes, with players, right? They see him play. And so they know how good they are. But I spent a lot of time with him in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and he's just a tremendous young guy.
You know, Ben, we've spent, you know, a couple of minutes here talking about all the positives about Utah State and the success and the great coaches that have been in this program. And that's been in the Mountain West Conference. Next season, Utah State is going to be in this new rendition of the Pac-12. And that's a league that also includes now Gonzaga. How invigorating is it not just to take on the Utah State job in a new league like the new Pac-12, but to know that you're going to have a brand like Gonzaga as part of that league?
Yeah, but both of those things were, you know, I would say certainly a part of the decision, you know, at this point. And, you know, the Valley's been a great league, but it's not the new Pac-12, you know. So for me, the opportunity now to do it with, you know, San Diego State and Boise State and Colorado State and Fresno State, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, Texas State. And then, as you mentioned, Gonzaga, you've got one of the top 10 programs over the last 20 years, you know, maybe longer than that, you know, with the Hall of Fame coach. And yes, the question, how invigorating. It's been a different 5 or 6 weeks, John, and in a really good way. And that's a big part of it. So you're going out recruiting and you're thinking about, okay, we know, you know, we don't know exactly because we haven't been in the games, but you got a little bit of an idea what's coming with the Mountain West teams that are here. And as I mentioned, you know, the Washington State, Oregon State, but Gonzaga brings a, you know, that changes the dynamic, whether you're a casual basketball fan or you are a longtime basketball fan or you're coaching or playing in this thing. Gonzaga changes the dynamic. So there's a ton of enthusiasm, not just for me as a head coach, but, you know, our staff, our players, Utah State athletics. That's a big deal.
And I don't think this has been pronounced as it should be, but you are the head coach now of Utah State and Ali Faroukhmanesh is the head coach of Colorado State. So the player that hit the decisive shot in that Northern Iowa win over Kansas is now a head coach in the same conference as you, the guy who coached him to that great March Madness win 16 years ago. What is it like now to be in the same league with not just one of your former players, but the former player who hit the shot to clinch the biggest win of your career?
Yeah, when we play the games, it'll be different. You know, I did it with Greg McDermott when he went to Iowa State. We played against each other, and he coached me when I was in college, and we've been best friends for a long time. So that dynamic is different, you know, for the more of the time leading up to it, John. You know, the game, like, right, we're all competitive. So the game isn't any different once you get to that point, but it's not as much fun playing against somebody that you've got that kind of relationship with. But Ali and I will get through that. You know, he had a very good year to get started last year. I will say that as it probably should be, you know, I show up at his press conference and he doesn't show up at mine. So I don't know exactly what that means, John, but I may have to work with him a little bit.
You know, Ben, as somebody who studies schedules so close, I'm always trying to find ways, you know, how programs can schedule their way to the NCAA tournament. The new Pac-12 is going to have 16 conference games, which means there's 16 non-conference opportunities for a program like Utah State to schedule their way into March Madness, especially now with 76 teams. I know you're going to be at New Mexico in the start of a series. I know you're playing BYU. I know there's a return game at Memphis. Is there anything else of note for Utah State's non-conference schedule in 26-27?
Yeah, we've got a contractor signed before we got the job. Neutral site games down in Frisco, Texas. We don't know who the opponents are going to be yet. We're also working on a second neutral site opportunity that would give us two games. That contract isn't signed yet, but that would both of those four neutral site games. Again, the contract for the second one not being signed, John, but if those four neutral site games, the three road games that you mentioned, that would give us seven away from home and opportunities for those quad one, quad two games. And then, you know, hopefully the other nine will be at home. You know, I'd like to get 9 or 10 home games each year with, you know, what I talked about with playing in the Spectrum, you know, that opportunity. And it's important, you know, for us to be able to be here. And but you have to have, I don't know if the number's 15 or 16, somewhere around that 15 or 16 by the time you're done with all of the games, right? The conference and non-conference games is going to get you into a decent position, you know, and I've said it, you know, for years. Obviously you have to do well against your schedule, right? That part is a given, but if you don't get somewhere close to that 15 or 16 quad one, quad two opportunities, then you're up against it a little bit. So I feel like if we can get of the 16, if we can get between 6 and 8 in the non-conference and then count on the league to get us somewhere between hopefully 7 and 10, you know, in the league games. So now we're sitting in a spot where we need to be as an individual team, but also also as a conference.
Ben, I'm fascinated in studying coaches for as long as I've been doing this, at how you guys always seem to hang on to your tough losses more than you celebrate your great wins. So for Ben Jacobson, give me one great win, and it can't be the Kansas win in 2010 because we've already talked about that. Give me one other great win that you always hold on to, and give me a tough loss during your career that you can't seem to shake.
Oh, the other great win, you know, when you take the Kansas one out of it, because we had a number of them at Northern Iowa, but that was always the one I could go to. So now you're going to make me think about it just a little bit. The loss would be the Texas A&M one.
Yeah.
You know, that one. Yeah. I mean, that one, you know, that one is one that doesn't go away. It took me a couple of years to get past that one. And that's, you know, the longer I've done this, the one thing I would say is, I should have got over it the next day, you know, because it ended up hanging on for a long time, John. And that's, you know, that's, you know, that when you do this, as long as I have, you're going to have a couple crazy ones. That one just happened to be crazier than most. So that would be the one on that end. On the other one, maybe this year, because it's so recent, is the four games we just played in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were banged up in December and January. We knew we had a good enough team to win it. Mm-hmm. But I would say that championship game against UIC, the four games in the 4 days, but the championship game against UIC, that, man, that team played, we played better each day. And, so for a team that we knew we were good enough, but the injuries held us back a little bit, to then get healthy, and then take advantage of it and get after that 2-year run that I talked about a little bit. The part of it as a head coach that I enjoyed so much was Titan Anderson came back to Northern Iowa 2 years ago. And I know he wasn't on the team this past year, but he came back when he could have left for more money. Trey Campbell came back this past year, and that group came back in order to get to the NCAA tournament. So to have that happen, you know, in this day and age, when it's much easier, you know, especially with, you know, at that level, you know, the conferences, the Valley and others like it, where it's a lot easier to leave and take more money, to have most of our group come back, including our best player, and then have it come through for him. So I would say that UIC game.
Ben, as you now move forward as the steward of this program, how refreshing is it knowing that you are going to have a legitimate chance to be in a multi-bid conference versus what you dealt with, you know, the past couple of years in the Missouri Valley?
Yeah, again, part of the excitement and the decision-making process. When I talked with Cam Walker, athletic director, and President Mortensen, and their thoughts and vision and their alignment in terms of our basketball program, this was a big part of it. You know, that's those games, man. It's no matter what league you're in, the league games are always so hard. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the Valley just got to the point where it's so difficult to get in that large bid coming out of there. It changes the entire dynamic. You know, I feel like there's a great opportunity for us now in the Pac-12 to be in the Big East and Pac-12. You know, they're probably pretty close, and you know, who can win that battle in the non-conference and be just ahead of the other one. And then, you know, who knows, man? Let's see where we can get this thing to, and get ourselves as close to into that four spot with what are the power fours. So knowing that everything doesn't ride on the last 3 or 4 days, John, it's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, let's wrap on this, Ben. Other than being a part of March Madness in 2027 and in the NCAA tournament, which is obviously always the goal at Utah State, what are the biggest things that Ben Jacobson wants to accomplish in year one at Utah State?
Yeah, I would tell you the first and most important thing to me is that we do a great job so that Mason and Carson, our two older guys that have been around, have been such a big part of all the success, that they have the best experience possible. You know, that we have as much fun as we possibly can with those two guys and with our team this year. And that's going to include the goal, the expectation that we're in the hunt for a Pac-12 championship, and that we're in the NCAA tournament, and we have an opportunity to win NCAA tournament games. I would love to be able to help Mason and Carson and our older guys, you know, have that experience in our first year. But, you know, for me, it's about, you know, the relationships we have with our players, right? And, helping those guys get to the point. So whether, again, it's our older guys, you know, Mason, and if we have any 1-year, you know, transfers, that'll be out of eligibility, that they have a terrific experience, but then they're ready for what's next, you know, whether that's, you know, the NBA or professional basketball, whatever that is. So, man, again, as we know, John, I've been doing this a long time, and I, you know, being happy is a real thing, right? And I want our players to feel that way when they come to the gym. I want them to feel that way when they come around the office. I want them to feel that way when we're traveling. And when we're playing, like, hey, we're going to compete like crazy. Right? Yeah. But being happy is a real thing. And I want our players I want that to be a big part of what we're doing.
Well, Ben, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple minutes. Congratulations on the job. All the best with the offseason at Utah State. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
You got it. That's Utah State head coach Ben Jacobson. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.